Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment God has brought me through this morning. Shout out to the MGN Nation. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Pastor Fred. I am going to that next level of thinking this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We got to think on things above. Hallelujah. So many times we do have thinking, and our thinking takes us down the wrong road. Let's give God glory this morning. Let's give God praise this morning. Let's thank God for a brand new day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Whew. Praising God. Going up beyond into that next level in my thinking. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for a wonderful word this morning. Because you know what? Before I feel you, I got to feel me. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be selfish, but I got to do what God says to do. I'm grateful that God has given me a friend like Pastor Few and his wife, his wonderful, lovely wife, my sister in Christ and my sister in heart, Miss Marcy. I call her Miss Marcy, Minister Marcy. Fred Sterl. Hallelujah. Thanking God for a wonderful, wonderful minister and family. And I thank God for my own pastor who was telling us that we got to stop worrying about them broken pieces. You know, so many times we want to feel broken and not feel like we have been put back together, because God put us back together and we got to be grateful for it, because we could be a hot mess. Messed up from the flow up, but understand, when you go to the next level, when you go to the next level in your thinking, when you go and put yourself in the hands of God, he made you like clay, right? He is, and we read this in our word, that God is what? The maker, and we are his clay. That he created us in his image. He created us to be better. He created us to be the best we can be. So I'm just thanking God today, you know, woo, hallelujah, to go up and not go down. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this next level of thinking, that I'm above and not beneath, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that I'm the head and not the tail. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed me to wake up this morning. I thank you, Lord, that I will be pain-free. Hallelujah. I'm thanking you, Lord, for all the blessings of Abraham. I'm thanking you, Lord, for that Jabez and large territories. I'm thanking you, Lord, for the blessings that only you can give. Because you, Lord God, we cannot beat you in giving. Father God, I thank you for my children. I thank you for the ministries that you have connected me to, God. I'm thanking you, Lord, for just the grace that can only come from you. Father God, I thank you for Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I thank you for salvation those 50 years ago, Lord God. I thank you at 13 years old, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit rain on me. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that I was saved and set free. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless this message, oh God. Bless the scriptures, oh God. Bless the things that only you can bless. Father God, I'm asking you to do all that you said you would do. You said you would never leave me or forsake me. And, Lord, I believe that. You said, oh, hallelujah, Lord, that in the year of Jubilee we will be debt free. I'm believing that. Lord God, I'm believing you for all things. I'm believing you for health. I'm believing you for, oh, hallelujah, a new level in my thinking toward my work that I do for you, God. Help me to be better, God, that this word will not just be some red word, but that it will be a word that will touch a heart, touch a mind, touch a spirit. Father God, I ask you to increase as your daughter decreases. I ask you, Father God, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. Father God, I lay all this word on your plate, oh God. Ask you, Lord God, to feed us, to help us to grow in knowledge and in hope of our future, Lord God, that one day we will walk those streets of gold. One day, whoo, hallelujah, we will see those pearly gates. And one day we will hear the words, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Whoo, hallelujah, come on in. Lord God, I want to come on in when my time comes. Whoo, Lord God, I'm praying for that change to come. In the name of Jesus, I'm lifting up today those that are in need. I'm lifting up those that have negative thinking, Lord God, asking you to change their mindset, Lord God, to know that you have blessed them beyond measure. You have blessed us all beyond measure. You gave us breath in our body, and ooh, you woke us up this morning. Father God, I'm just saying thank you today. Thank you as I praise you, as I lift my hands in worship, as I lift my heart in praise. I just say thank you, Lord. But this is the day that you have made, and I am rejoicing in it. I am grateful. I am thankful. I am blessed. All I can say is hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. 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 Ooh, hallelujah. You know, the word for today is, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. And how we sing a new song, we got to change our mindset. We got to change our thinking. You know, I was listening to my pastor preach on yesterday, and she talked about pieces. You know, we got to put those broken pieces back together again. We got to change how we think. You know, and then I get on this morning to Morning Glory, and Pastor Fred is talking about changing, going to a next level in our thinking. You know, God is changing my mindset. It's like, you know, how much have I blessed you? I can only say more than I can ever, ever say. Everything, every bill, unexpected bill that came up in the last 2 weeks, God paid them in full. Come on now. Three bills. God paid in full. Had to get my roof, my chimney repaired, paid in full. Blessed and paid in full. Had to get my lawnmower repaired, paid in full. Had to get a furnace looked at. The bill came. Paid in full. So I'm expecting God to pay because he loves me like that. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And I know I'm blessed. You know, ooh, hallelujah. All I can say this morning is thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I don't want to have thinking. Mortgages due today, but God knows it will get paid because that's just how he works. And all I can say is thank you, Father God, for all you've done for me in Jesus' name. Whew, hallelujah. And the word of God says in Job chapter 21 through chapter 22, verse 30. Again, this is Bible study. If you have something to say, push the number 1 on your phone. And the call-in number this morning is 213-943-3597. You can call in and listen on that number, and you can call in and talk on that number. Again, 213-943-3597. I have been given an assignment by God. It started a few years ago, but the particular assignment that I'm doing right now, because I know folks are like, oh, you're going to read the Bible again, because that's my assignment. This is my time with God where I read my word. And I'm reading it with you because that's what God told me to do. I don't ask for money. I don't ask for anything. I pay to do this, to read the word of God across the airwaves. So somebody who may need a word from God will find it in moving forward with Minister Bridget on Blog Talk Radio at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Because God's word has got to go into the atmosphere. And so that's what my job is, and that's what I'm going to do to the best of my ability until the Lord calls me home. Whatever my assignment for God, I will get it done because I know that it is what God asked me to do, and I'm going to do it. So let's get into the Word of God this morning. Get the Bible. This is Bible study. And again, my disclaimer, I am not paid by In Touch Ministries, Stanley's Bible, and to tell folks you got to buy this Bible. But I will say it is one of the best study Bibles I've ever had. And I thank God for Dr. Charles Stanley and ask him to continue doing what he does for God, because this Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year is awesome. It is a must-have in your Bible arsenal, because our Bibles are our weapons. These are our weapons. You got to have your Bible. Get the Bible, because this is Bible study. And we will be coming out of Job chapter 21 through chapter 22, verse 30. Our title is coming out of the 96 Psalms, verses 1 through 6. And then we will also be going into Proverbs chapter 23, verses 6 through 8. And Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 23. And we say, God willing. Hallelujah. So let's get started, family, because this word, he says this, because Job, you know, Job has got just an overview. Job has got those friends that have come to sit with him during his time of trouble. And he's going through right now. Job is going through some mess. The devil has attacked his body. He killed off his children, took his wealth, and now he's attacking his body. But understand, he can only do what God is allowing. God is allowing this. And it is going to make Job stronger. It's going to make his friends understand that just because a person is going through does not mean that they did something. That just means that God is sharpening iron. God is making them stronger. God is making them tougher. You go either stand up and do it or you're going to fall. But the bottom line is you still got to trust God. And through it all, Job is like, I know I'm going through. I know every part of me is hurting. I don't know what to do. I just want to talk to God. Let us go to court. Come on now. Show me what I did. I try to live right. I try to do what. But I'm not going to blame you because I know you, God. Come on now. Let's see what Job has to answer to his know-it-all friend who ended his word yesterday with, this is a portion from God for a wicked man. The heritage is appointed to him by God. Just call his friend wicked. Think that through. He's your friend, but he's going to call you wicked. So this is what Job had to say to his friend, and I'm putting that friend in them quotation marks. Zophar, the Namahite. You know, I'm talking because, you know, I'm knowledgeable. So I know why you got it. Sometimes all you need to do is listen. You don't have to give your opinion. You know, you don't have to give it. You can listen. Don't give an opinion unless it's asked for. You just pray for whoever your friend is. You pray because when you love your friend, you're going to love them with your whole heart. Friendship is not a one-sided thing. It's a, I got to love my friend because they are my friend, and I love them. Because that's what God loves us. So who are we not to love others? Come on now. And it says this, then Job answered and said, listen carefully to my speech, and let this be your consolation. Bear with me that I may speak. And after I have spoken, keep mocking. As for me, is my complaint against man? Come on now. And if it were, why should I not be impatient? Look at me and be astonished. Put your hand over your mouth. Even when I remember, I am terrified. and trembling takes hold of my flesh. Why do the wicked live and become old? Yes, become mighty in power. Their descendants are established with them in their sight, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull breeds without failure. Their cow calves without miscarriage. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They sing to the tambourine and harp, and rejoice to the sound of the flute. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Yet they say to God, depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we have if we pray to him? Indeed, their prosperity is not in their hands. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. He's like, understand, I am not wicked. It's far from me. You sit now in your judgment seat. Who are you? Job asked, there's so many that are, and they go about life happy with everything they want, more than they could ever need. But I'm not one of them. Come on now, let's keep it going. How often is the lamp of the wicked put out? How often does their destruction come upon them? He's asking a question. The sorrow of God's distributes in his anger. They are like straw before the wind and like chaff that a storm carries away. They say God lays up one's iniquity for his children. Let him recompense him that he might know it. Let his eyes see his destruction, and let him drink of the wrath of the Almighty. But what does he care about his household after him when the number of his months is cut in half? In other words, he said, the wicked don't care about their children. The wicked don't care. He's like, let the sins of the father fall to the children, because we good. We live a life to the full. And you look and you say, I don't get it. Good people, poor, struggling, folks that are wicked and decadent and evil, worshiping everything but God, and yet they have everything. You know, we all can have had those jumped out moments where we were like, that don't make any sense. Just evil, wicked, but yet look at them. But we don't know their final destination, and we can't judge. We got to ask God to work with us, because we are not perfect either. We got to work on it. God is working. He's doing a new thing in us. Well, we got to start thinking higher than what's on this earth. We got to think of things above. Come on now. And it says, can anyone teach God knowledge? Absolutely not. I'm saying that for Job. Since he judges those on earth, you better say it. One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. His pails are full of milk, and the marrow of his bones is moist. Another man dies in the bitterness of his soul, never having eaten with pleasure. They lie down alike in the dust, and worms cover them. Look, I know your thoughts and the schemes with which you would wrong me. But you say, where is the house of the prince? And where is the tent, the dwelling place of the wicked? Have you not asked those who travel the road, and do you not know their signs? For the wicked are reserved for the day of doom. They shall be brought out on that day of wrath. Who condemns his way to his face, and who repays him for what he has done? Yet he shall be brought to the grave, and a vigil kept over the tomb. The claws of the valley shall be swept sweep to him. Everyone shall follow him, as countless have gone before him. How then can you comfort me with empty words that remains in your answers? Job's like, y'all ain't gonna talk to me in your way. At my house, when I'm going through, oh, no, you didn't. You're not gonna talk to me like that. You're not gonna say to me this or that, or I'm wicked in my house? Come on now. I'm going through, and you're supposed to be here to help me, to comfort me, not to judge me. I'm speaking for Job right now. We got to. We all have been in our Job moments, and there's folks want to judge you when we all need to be looking at ourselves. We got to stop being the judging spirits and start being the comforting, loving, God-loving, God-fearing, God-trusting spirits that wrap our arms around our brothers and sisters in need instead of complaining and talking about them. Come on now. God loves us like that. We got to start speaking truth, speaking love, speaking grace, speaking kindness, speaking the things that are above and not the things that are beneath. We got to love on God as God loves on us. Then Eliphaz the Temanite and answered and said, and this is Job chapter 22 for those just joining us this morning. Can a man be profitable to God? Though he who is wise may be profitable to himself, is it pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? Or is it gain to him that you make your way blameless? But what did God say? Job was righteous, did he not? So, yeah, it is a pleasure to God that Job was a righteous man and that he was blameless. Come on now. But, again, what does this friend say? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? Absolutely, yes. Or is it gain to him that you make your way blameless? Actually, it was. That's why he was chosen to go through. Sometimes when we go through, we need to understand we are chosen by God to go through, to show ourselves approved. Hallelujah. That we never lost our faith that God could bring us through. That we never lost our faith that all is well. Hallelujah. Is it because of your fear of him and he corrects you and enters into judgment with you? Is not your wickedness great and your iniquity without end? See, that is when he's talking to him like this, y'all. For you have taken pledge from your brother for no reason and stripped the naked of their clothing. You have not given the weary water to drink, and you have withheld bread from the hungry. But the mighty man possessed the land, and the honorable man dwells in it. You have sent widows away empty, and the strength of the fatherless was crushed. Therefore, snares are all around you, and sudden fear troubles you, or darkness so that you cannot see, and abundance of water covers you. Is not God in the height of heaven? And see the highest stars, how lofty they are. And you say, what does God know? Can he judge through the deep darkness? Big clouds cover him so that he cannot see. And he walks above the circle of heaven. Will you keep to the old way which wicked men have trod, who were cut down before their time, whose foundations were swept away by a flood? They said to God, depart from us. What can the Almighty do to them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh at them. Surely our adversities are cut down, and the fire consumes their remnant. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instructions from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tent. Then you will lay your gold in the dust, and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. But then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your way, when they cast you down and you say exhortations will come, then he will save the humble person. He will even deliver one who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hand. Now understand that even the foolish can say some good things. Even those that are, you like, okay, you out of one breath, you speak of some negativity, but then you can flip it around and speak positive. You know, Job's friends were a conundrum. They were all over the place. They were total riddles, here, there, and everywhere. First they call him wicked, then they go, but you got to do this. You know, they up and down and everywhere. But this is what Dr. Stanley chose from this word. It's a life lesson. Is it my pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? Actually, the answer is yes. I already answered that. I didn't even see this word. And yes, in fact, the life and the obedience of his people. 1 Samuel 15:22. And take pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. The 147th Psalm, verse 11. You know, as they're talking this, they don't understand. The answer was yes. Yes, it's the truth. You know, let's go over real quick to 1 Samuel. And y'all know 1 Samuel is the, if there's such a word as Bob Diggity, Samuel, period, 1st and 2nd Samuel are the Bob Diggity. Samuel was all that, and some, you know, this little boy, come on now, given to God at birth because his mom could not have children, and she prayed. She went into serious Holy Ghost speaking in tongues prayer to God for her child, and God blessed her. And I love this word. We're going to go up one word. And it's the chapter 15, verse 26. And I'm coming out of the Christian Standard, Homage Christian Standard. It says, but I did obey the Lord, Saul answered. I went on the mission. I went on the mission the Lord gave me. I brought back King Agag of Amalek, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites, the chief to sheep, goats, and cattle, from the plunder, the best of what was set apart for destruction to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Now understand, God had told him to destroy everything, including the everything. Can I say it again? God had instructed Saul to destroy everything, but he didn't. And then this is what Samuel says, does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much? Obey the Lord. Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of lambs. And let's give it that next word. When we think of this word, the ladies' conference we had one year, this was the theme of the conference. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And we need to obey God. And it says this, for rebellion is like the sin of divination. And defiance is the wickedness of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as he. Bam, that quick. God gave and God took away because of rebellion. Rebellion is a form of witchcraft. They use divination, but it's the same. We got to be careful that we are not rebellious to God. And when we go over to Psalm, to the 147th Psalm, I just got to read the first one because it just says something tomorrow. Hallelujah. How good it is to sing to our God. For praise is pleasant and lovely. And our word for today is on sing to the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to sing. And we got to learn how to sing to God with a joyful heart. And it says in verse 11, the Lord values those who fear him and those who put their hope in his faithful love. Can I say that again? The Lord values those who fear him, those who put their hope in his faithful love. Woo, I love God. And it says here, in his faithful mercy. And let's go on to our word for this morning. Sing to the Lord a new song. We're going to have a positive day, a positive attitude, because we know our attitude will determine our altitude. Can we have an attitude of gratitude this morning? Can we just say this morning, thank you, God, for all you've done for me. Thank you, God, for my good. Thank you, God, for the knowledge of the bad and the ugly, because everything that I've gone through, Lord, is for a purpose, and everything I'm going through is for a purpose. Help me to be better, God. Help me to appreciate the blessings that you have given me, God. Thank you for the overflow. Let me quit complaining about what I have and thank you for it. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for everything I have. I thank you, Lord, for it all, because I would have nothing. I am nothing without you. We got to start speaking what we know is above and not beneath. And we're going to start thinking about who we are. We are sons and daughters of God. We were grafted in. We are part of the vine. We are his children, and he loves us very much. And we got to start saying, thank you, Daddy. Hallelujah. Sing. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Hallelujah. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Come on, we just read that. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And I just got my hand up, thanking God this morning for his grace. Thanking God for that new level song. Thanking God for the Holy Ghost that brings in our hearts, minds, and spirits. Thanking God for the greatest gift we could ever have, the gift of his son. The blood of Jesus, may it flow over us all. Hallelujah. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. We got to sing unto the Lord. And bless his holy name. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his holy name. We got to sing praises to God this morning. And as our life lesson for our title today says, sing to the Lord a new song. Why does scripture encourage us to sing a new song to the Lord? Songs are good too, but new songs help us see God in a fresh light and to appreciate him in a new way. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for this brand new day. I thank you, God, for the grace that you have given me just to wake me up today. Because, Lord, I know somebody didn't make it this morning. Somebody died in their sins, Lord God. I'm just asking you, Father, to guide and lead us. Keep our children safe. Keep our progeny safe. Keep those grandchildren. You bless us with, keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, Father. But we are yours and you are ours. Father God, guide us and lead us in the way we should go. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 6 through 8. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste. We got to be careful of who we associate with. Who are you associating with? Ask God to guide you and lead you in the way that you should go. Romans 14, 1 through 23. Receive one who is weak in the faith and not to dispute over doubtful things. I'll read that again. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge? Whew. Damn. Another servant to his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and give God thanks. But none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Come on, give your sing to the Lord in his soul this morning. We got to quick get out of the judging spirit. We got to get out of the, I'm doing better than you because, you know, I don't eat. I use dietary restrictions. I don't eat them shrimp. I don't eat all that stuff. Mm-mm. Nope, I don't eat pork. Yeah, that's not my thing. Mm-mm. I'm following the rules that have been set in the word of God. But what about God tell Peter? What is going on here? What did he say? As long as you give thanks, whatever you put in your mouth, give thanks. Because God can make the impure pure and the unholy holy. But only God can do it. So easy to sit on your pedestal when everything's going well for you. To sit back and judge somebody who's going through. Maybe you don't do drugs. Maybe you're not an alcoholic. But you don't know what led to those struggles. You don't know that maybe that person lost everything. Lost their wives and their children. The mothers and the fathers. The siblings. Like Joe lost everything. Everybody can be like Job. But Job even went into the ashes, went into sorrow, then he lost his health. But he never gave up on God. And yet, all the folks, his so-called friends, came to pass judgment. But what did our word tell us today? Who are you to judge another servant to his own master? He stands or falls. The only one that can judge us is the master, the creator, and that is God. I'm saying that we got to live wrong so God can judge us right. We got to live right so God will call us. And as we continue in our word in verse 8, but we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. But to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Come on now. Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Come on now. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. I can't account for my mama. I can't account for my brother and my sister. I can't account for my children. I can't account for my late husband. I can't account for anyone but myself. So what am I doing? How am I living? What am I speaking? We got to start speaking truth. But we also got to speak it in love because we are not the judge of anybody. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve the stumbling block or cause the fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is free because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Come on now. Catch that. I'm going to read it again. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Damn. But the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. But he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Okay, here we go. I know Sister Susie does not eat pork. I know she don't eat any kind of pig. She don't eat it. She don't eat ham. She don't eat pork chops. She don't eat bacon. But I know that a year ago, Sister Susie was standing down on the pork and the ribs and the woman could make a baked ham that would make you just want to stop somebody. It was so good. But now Sister Susie ain't cooking no more. She don't make no more ham. She's not making them good baked beans with the ham and the meat in it and all that. We not having that no more. I don't know what's wrong with Sister Susie, but I'm going to have me some pork and beans. But I'm making now. I'm going to try to make it like her, but she acting all funny now. I don't know. So I'm having my stuff. I invite her to dinner, but since she's going to have to eat pork in my house, she ain't going to eat it all. What does the word of God tell you? Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Because what you don't know, because you don't always know a person's story, is that maybe Sister Susie no longer eats pork because she found out she had high blood pressure and cholesterol issues, and she had to give up some things in order to get better so that she didn't leave this world because of something she was eating. But now you're going to bring, because you call yourself trying to show her what for, acting all forbidden because she don't eat pork. No, she don't eat pork because it's a health risk. Why? Just like a diabetic shouldn't be chowing down on all the pies and the cakes and everything that's not nailed down. We got to understand, you don't know everybody's story, but we cannot be offended because a person doesn't eat what we eat. We should all be giving thanks and keeping it moving because we are not about the food. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Come on now. So you get the driest enthusiasm and we had, I got a pork roast and honey, Sister Susie, she was staring up the bacon. And then your friend says, according to you, Susie's in the hospital. She's in the hospital, yeah. She had something happened to her the other night. I don't know if she had a heart attack or what happened, but they had to rush her to the hospital. Okay. Y'all fill in the blanks on that one. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself to what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Not my words, but God's words. And let's go back to a few life lessons before we get out of here this morning on this absolutely magnificent word in Romans. Damn, we got to sing that new song for God. We got to be not judging, We got to be lifting up and not tearing down. We got to think of things above and not beneath. We got to know we are the head and not the tail. We got to sing to God, sing it to the Lord. Bless his holy name. Woo! For the Lord our God is great and greatly to be praised. We got to sing that song, new song for God. And as we go back into Romans 14:5, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. God wants us to learn how to live by faith. Come on now. And that means he doesn't give us a thick rule book that answers all of our questions. He wants us to develop personal conviction based on our ongoing relationship with him. And it's all individual. My relationship is my relationship with God. Your relationship is your relationship with God. But when we come together, two or three gathered in his name, he gets into the midst. Hallelujah. I still believe that we are always in it unaware. Romans 14:8. If we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Hallelujah. Who's your daddy? Who do you belong to? What's your family name? Where'd you come from? Where you going? Come on now. Who are you related to? I'm related to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my brother. He is my Savior. He is my friend. And we share a father. He's my brother on my daddy's side. Come on now. Everything we do should reflect well on the Savior who brought us with his own blood. Even the way we die should witness to the goodness of Jesus Christ. Every moment of every day, we belong to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Romans 14:12, each of us shall give account of what? Himself to God. I can't account for my children. My children can't account for me. I can't account for my mother. My mother can't account for me. I can't account, cannot account for me. My lay husband can account for me, and I can't account for him. Hallelujah. He can only account for himself. We all got to understand we each have to account for our own self. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells. What sort of account would you have to give to Jesus of the way you lived this past week? Ooh. What would you tell him about the way you live today? Would we be happy about your plans for tomorrow? Because we all understand tomorrow is not promised. How did you live today? Did you lift up or did you tear down? We got to understand. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not from faith is sin. We are to live our whole lives relying on the power of grace as it comes to us through faith. Come on, Dr. Stanley, you better preach. If we are not sure that something we would like to do, honest God, if we cannot do it in faith, then we should refrain. Come on now. Say it. Now, we got a life example to end with this morning from Romans 14:7-12. Is Jesus the Lord of my life? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. My suggestion, he says, is as I lay in that hospital bed, he was sick. He says, I've asked myself this question many a time. On one occasion, I was in the hospital because I had worn myself out. Oops. Been there, done that. Sitting at emergency room bed. I was so busy with religious activities that I exhausted myself and had to be taken to the hospital for rest. All up in my business. Of course, I said I was doing it all for Jesus' sake. However, was I pleasing God with my grueling business? No. I thought my motivation was good, but deep down I knew it wasn't really right. I was doing everything for Jesus, but not obeying him, which is what we really wanted. And honestly, I understand that. When you running, you run to work, you run to church, you run to work, you run to church, you run to get the grandkids, you run to do this, you run to do that, you run to run. And not resting. Then you get home. You want to watch this movie. You want to talk on the phone. You want to do this. You want to study. I got to study. I got to get this done. I got to work on this program. I got to. And the next thing you know, you're sitting in the hospital bed from exhaustion, from dehydration, because you didn't do what God said do, which was to what? Rest. And it says, as I lay in the hospital bed, I thought about my relationship with Jesus Christ. I realized how foolish I have been and prayed, Lord, how will I know when you are the Lord of my life? What do I need to do? I took some paper and a pencil and started writing. I couldn't write fast enough. The Lord gave me some very important statements to measure my life by and help me measure me. My suggestion to you is this. The next time you seriously consider whether Jesus Christ is really the Lord of your life, see how you're doing by considering the following statement. I say, get a piece of paper. Consider you, as I'm sure it's going to help me. The first is this. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life when I obey the initial prompting of the Holy Spirit without arguing with him. Number two. I know that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when I am committed to following his will, even though I may not know what his will is. Number three, I know that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when I am available to serve him no matter what he requires of me. Number four, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when pleasing him takes precedence over pleasing any other person. Number five, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when I recognize that he is the source of all I need, and I go to him as that source. Number six, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when I recognize his ownership of all that I am and all that I have. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when I learn to turn difficulties and failures into opportunities for growth. Number eight, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when knowing him becomes the obsession of my life. What a word. And let's go back and hit these points. And the first is number one. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life when I obey the initial prompting of the Holy Spirit without arguing with him. There are many times when God gives us a command that we should obey immediately, yet what do? We begin to argue with God because we want to do things our own way. All up in folks' business, is he not? However, in every situation, we must recognize God's authority, wisdom, and power, no matter whether it appears to be good for us or not. Our perception of God's command is never the issue. Our only right response is to step in. We must answer yes to his leading and guidance in every situation. All up in it. Just all up in folks' business, is he not? And it says, I know that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when I am committed to following his will, even though I may not know what his will is. God does not show us every detail of his will for us, and we must simply trust him. However, if we insist on knowing every detail of God's plans, what are we really doing? It's rebelling against him. And we know what? Rebellion is a form of what? Witchcraft. Brother, we must leave all the consequences of our obedience to him. If he is the king of all creation and he is omnipotent, knowing all things, omnipresent, all-powerful, and omnipotent, omniscient, knowing all things, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, he's always with us. So what do we have to worry about? He is able to do anything. He loves us, and we are always in his presence. What could we possibly fear? To ask, I said, I know, number three, I know that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when I am available to serve him no matter what he requires of me. Really, we cannot say that Jesus is Lord if we decide that we don't want to serve him. To follow Jesus means that we are giving our life to him. Number four, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when pleasing him takes precedence over pleasing any other person. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life when pleasing him is more important to us than pleasing anyone else in the world, including ourselves. Come on. Number five, Jesus Christ is Lord of our life when I recognize that he is the source of all I need and I go to him as that source. The Lord Jesus Christ should eliminate all worries because he will give us everything we need. Jesus can meet every need that we have. If he cannot, then he's not God. Damn, what I told y'all, my testimony. Three huge bills, all paid by God through his service. And all I can say is thank you. God knows your circumstances, and he will send what you need. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when I recognize that he is the source of all I need. Thank you, God. Number six, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life when I recognize his ownership of all that I am and all that I have. Jesus Christ is the owner of everything that exists. He has it all in his keeping. When we recognize that Jesus Christ is the owner, the one who possesses all that we have and all that we are and all that we have, then we begin to understand Christ as the Lord of our life. Number seven, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life when I learn to turn difficulties and failures into opportunities for growth. He is the Lord when we see everything as an opportunity. Thinking of things above, y'all. Thinking a different thought level, going a little higher in our thought. And it says, Christ's likeness, God uses everything for our good, even our difficulties. That is why we must view everything that comes into our life as something for God is going to work. God is giving us all a new song today. Are you singing your new song to God? Number eight, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. When knowing him becomes the obsession of my life. Come on, God. Therefore, we trust God and make him your focus, your obsession. Allow him to be the Lord of your life, and you will know you are reaching the potential you were created and living the very best life possible. And that is our word this morning. And all I can say is thank you. I'm about to shout all over the place. Because God is that good. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song today, saints. Sing to the Lord because God is good all the time. And we got to go higher in Christ today. And this is one word that I got from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from Carolyn Skip. This morning is this. Good morning time. God closes doors because it's time for us to move forward. He knows that we won't move unless circumstances forces us to have a moving on Monday. So have a moving on Monday, family. Thank you so much for listening in today. For those that have to leave at 8 o'clock, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that God is in control of everything in your life. As you sing your new song to the Lord today, just bless his holy name and say, thank you, Lord. I'm going higher. I'm moving up. I'm trusting you. Hallelujah. And before we get out of here, for those that can stay a minute, our prayer for this morning just fits right with our lesson. Distant meaning. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and that is New King James Version. God of all, you put everything you have into the redemption of your people. Your love knows no bounds. There are no limits to the compassion you pour out on your people. You call me out of darkness into your glorious light. the light of your face where there are no shadows, the mystery of your great love tore down the fences of national, ethnic, and economic boundaries, opening the gates of your kingdom so all may enter. Lord, you are faithful in your leadership. There are so many areas that I don't understand, so many things that are too complex for me to figure out alone. However, your character remains consistent. Your goodness cannot be hidden by technicalities. I submit myself to your leadership, knowing that you are the only one who sees the whole picture. Thank you for your marvelous mercy that ushers me into your kingdom as your child. Is the driving force of your life this morning, family. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his kindness. Thank God for his provision. And have a blessed and wonderful day. As Sister Carolyn has said one more time, as we go through a word from my sister in Christ, sometimes God closes doors because it's time for us to move forward. He knows that we won't move unless circumstances forces us to. Have a moving on Monday, and thank God for this day that he has made. Let us all together rejoice and be glad in it. Have a blessed day, family. It's officially a wrap. It's time for me to get ready for work. I love you all. I thank God for you. If you have time, join me tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the Word of God. We are more than half finished with our work. Wow, look at our work. And so all I can say is thank you. Thank you all for joining me. Thank you for coming in. And I ask God's continued blessing over you all. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.